This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit with World War II Navy nurse Peggy Bergthold. From 1943 to 46, she served at Mare Island Naval Hospital in California's Bay Area. She was involved in operations with burn victims and amputees who survived the Pearl Harbor attacks. Later, she witnessed American POWs who had been liberated from captivity in Japan. We've heard some of those memories and gotten a taste of her youthful personality. Check out some photos of Peggy then and now on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and let's get back to her story right now.
Do you remember what it was like where you were when World War II ended, when the news came that Japan had surrendered?
Yes. I remember San Francisco went wild.
Did you join in all that fun? I've heard stories of soldiers having nurses to kiss in the middle of San Francisco on Market Street.
They sure did, but I wasn't one of them.
Well, I'll take your word for it until somebody shows me photographic evidence to the contrary. Was that a big deal to you? Did that mean something? I mean, here you had been in these surgeries with so many of these guys whose lives were changed by this war, and the country was changed by this war, and now it's finally over. Was that a big deal?
Well, I was just elated that it was over, that we wouldn't be having any more of these boys, injured boys, come in for our surgery and everything.
Until they brought in all those ex-prisoners of war from Japan.
That was rough.
What could you guys do for them to make things a little better?
Well, they had to come in, and their entire body had to be washed because they were full of the disease. Mm-hmm. And I have seen strong surgeons weep how mistreated our boys were.
Just to see a human being in that condition.
Uh-huh.
And it's a pretty long road to recovery for those guys, wasn't it?
Yeah. But you see, they could stay at Mare Island indefinitely.
Mm-hmm. Probably one of the biggest things they needed was some real food.
Yes, and nourishment.
Slow process.
Yes.
And you shared with us, and I think that was real powerful. It wasn't a long, drawn-out sentiment that you shared with them. It was pretty straightforward and simple, but it seemed like that might have a lot of value for you. Did you realize what you were saying when you told them, you're home now, you're going to be okay, I'm here to help?
I think that my religion and my faith, even though I was in the Navy, I never gave up my faith. And I went to chapel every Sunday and everything. I think that's what promoted me to let the boy know that someone loved him. And I'm here to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it almost sounds like you got as much out of that as they did.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you just can't believe their bodies. Anyway, that was a long time ago.
It was, and you stayed in the Navy past the end of World War II, and you were discharged in 1946. Was that bittersweet to leave the Navy after all the excitement you'd had?
Oh, no, I was married, and I was happy to get along for it to be a married life.
Real life. The war's over. Life can go on again.
Yes, yes.
Can you help us understand how uncertain that was for those couple of years? Because people now, I mean, just the idea of our world, it's almost a given. It's taken for granted. But I imagine while this war's going on, I mean, your future seemed pretty uncertain.
Oh, sure.
What kept you going? What kept you motivated to do what you were doing?
Oh, I think, see these young men?
Mm-hmm. These are the corpsmen you worked with?
They were the corpsmen. And they were all very, very brilliant. And they treated me like a queen. We'd have breakout. And they'd call me and say, Miss Gert. So they would go over to the officer of the day, pick up the key, and they'd get started because they were well-trained. And then I would come along and supervise her.
You said a moment ago that your faith, your beliefs motivated your desire to comfort these men
Yes.
as they came home.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I mean, if we can put ourselves in their shoes. Talk about an uncertain future when you don't know if you're missing an arm or a leg or you're emaciated from being a prisoner of war, you've been tortured, whatever. There's probably a lot of concern or uncertainty in your mind, and here you are providing that comfort. So you said your faith colored that perspective. What about that question I asked you a little bit ago? The fact that here out of all the wounded sailors at this hospital, you meet a guy who becomes your husband and the father of your children and all these things that have happened. Is that something where you look back at your beliefs too and say,
well,
God was pulling some strings?
Well, I just wondered how I – well, so it's interesting.
Sounds like something to be thankful for.
Oh, well, I'm thankful for him. I'm sorry he left us so soon.
You're not in a hurry to follow that example, though.
No, I'm not ready to go yet.
You know, in all honesty, what is the secret to your youthfulness? I mean, you're 93 years old. People can hear your voice. They can hear your spunk coming through the radio here. Where does that come from?
Well, I don't know.
You always been that way?
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe yourself?
Henry.
You said it, not me.
Henry.
Let's talk about Honor Flight.
Oh, that was the time. That was the best time. See my picture up there?
You've got your picture right on the wall here, a group picture of all the veterans that went on a Central Valley Honor Flight to Washington, D.C. In June of 2015. And you're one of, what, five women on that flight?
Yeah.
Five female veterans.
And listen, when they came into the airport, You have never – oh, there was two lines, one on each side of Labor. I have never seen such a reception.
So what you're talking about, you're with all these World War II veterans and some Korean War veterans, but you returned from all this experience in Washington, D.C., and waiting for you in the secure corridor of the Fresno Yosemite International Airport are uniformed, active duty Navy sailors.
I never saw so many. They were all lined up along.
And what were they doing?
And then wasn't there a drum and bugle?
Yeah, the bagpipes leading
the bagpipes.
Through. But these sailors were all saluting
they
you.
Were all, yes.
How did that make you feel?
Oh, like I was the president.
Maybe you should be.
Oh, well, come on now.
Should we ask you what decisions you'd make if you were in the White House?
I'd feel sorry for our nation.
If you were president?
Yes.
But so for this honor flight, now that's the way home. You get out there to Washington, D.C. What kinds of things did you experience that are sticking with you that when you look at that picture on the wall, it comes back to mind?
Oh, the honor team. The changing of the guard.
At the Tomb of the Unknowns?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved that. And then I couldn't believe when we were at the National Cemetery how many graves there are. Mm. And Paul, you can't go there without a tear in your eye. It was very impressive to me.
What did you think of that National World War II Memorial, where you see the gold stars representing 400,000
Americans?
Oh,
I thought that was wonderful. And I also thought the Korean.
And what was it like to share that experience with your daughter and with all these other veterans?
Well, she's not a veteran, but she got as much impression of it as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was very, very interested in it.
One of the things that you mentioned, the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknowns, but on that same trip while you're at Arlington National Cemetery, in a corner of that complex, there is the Women's Museum.
Yes, and I took my picture in, and I took my registration, and as I walked in to give her my registration and my picture, the lady said, "Ooh, this is cute. I'm going to put it up right now." I said, I'm 93 now. Just think how many years ago that was. She says, "I don't care." So she put my picture up.
Yeah, so they have a screen there, and any woman who served in World War II in the military, they'll put that military era photo up on display.
Yes.
At the Museum Women in Military Service for America.
Yes.
And is that kind of neat? Does that mean something to you that they have a museum there honoring specifically the women who served? Because a lot of people don't even realize women served in World War II.
Well, I thought it was wonderful because we gave our time. But I haven't felt as honored as I have lately for people that are bringing it back to you.
Mm-hmm. Does that make you feel like you did something that mattered?
Uh-huh.
Because you probably forgot about it or didn't think about it all that often as you're moving on with life and you're raising kids.
Yes, no.
But you did some pretty incredible things when you were in your 20s, didn't you?
Yes. And the thing of it was, I was thinking the other day, I left home, Oklahoma, and came all the way out here. Can you believe how young I was?
Yeah, it's amazing you made it all the way here, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you're still going.
And I'm still here.
And you have children and grandchildren who I know appreciate you, but they weren't alive during World War II. They didn't experience it the way you did or Your late husband did. Yeah. What do you think is important for those of us who weren't born yet, who didn't live through that time in our nation's history, to know about that period and the men and women who kept our nation free and really saved the world?
That we played a more important role than you realized.
I mean, this is 70 years ago. Women had never been this involved in the American military, but the magnitude of World War II and the multiple fronts required manpower, and a lot of the recruiting push was, women, come do this job so a man doesn't have to and he can go overseas and risk his life. But until that point, women in the military, I mean, that wasn't something that was common or thought of. Now it's very commonplace. Women have opportunities today that they wouldn't have had if you and your generation of women didn't do what you did. Does that give you a sense of pride that you were some kind of trailblazer?
Well, I never thought of it. We just did what we were, and while we were doing it, we had a good time.
I get the feeling there isn't much you do where you don't have a good time. What was the most satisfying part of your duties during World War II?
Well, having the honor to work with all these young men, to be accepted, and being able to do the job I did at Mare Island. Because, you see, in surgery at Mare Island, there weren't more than three nurses. The rest of them were all corpsmen.
So not too many people got to experience what you experienced.
Yeah, to work with the corpsmen. We might do maybe two or three appendectomies a night. And it was a submarine base. We'd have a lot of surgery that would come in and out of Mare Island.
Right. And as far as the combat casualties that came in, and it's one thing if you've got one or two. Can you give us some perspective on how many there were? I mean, are you just seeing waves and waves of guys in these similar conditions? Are we talking hundreds of patients that are undergoing operations?
I would say three wards failed, burn cases. Each ward would have their own doctor. And then when they'd come to surgery, we'd do the surgery, and then they'd go back.
Did you get a sense for how big a difference those surgeries could make in these guys' lives?
Oh, what would happen to them if they didn't have it? Because when you get these burn cases, they were bad. Oh, it's tragic.
You're seeing burns on faces, on sometimes probably entire bodies that are burned?
Yes, and legs and arms and so forth.
So with these skin grafts and then with some of the other injuries, the prosthetics, you're really having a life-changing impact. Have you ever wondered what became of some of those patients?
Oh, many times, especially when I see all of us lined up in that picture, wonder what happened to those sweet boys.
In a way, that picture, you're talking about the picture of this honor flight where you've got 60 male veterans and 5 female veterans. You look at that picture and those aren't the actual patients, but they might as well have been.
They could have been.
Yeah.
They could have been. Oh, that honor flight was wonderful. Oh, don't you think they do a good job?
Mm-hmm. I'm a little biased, but absolutely.
You're a little biased.
Well, I want to say thank you for serving our country. I'm sure when you were on the honor flight, you had a lot of people thanking you for your service.
Listen, when we'd come through the line, everybody wanted to shake hands with you.
How did that make you feel?
Like I was the president.
We got to get your campaign together.
Yes.
That's the second time you mentioned that. One of the things that impresses me the most about the honor flight experience, it's not all the things that we plan for you that we know that are going to happen, but it's the things we can't plan. Did you have some random circumstances while you're in Washington, D.C. that touched you, that made you feel special?
Oh, they came up out of the blue every place.
Everywhere you went?
Every place we went. Everyone wanted to shake hands with you. Thank you for our service.
And what about when you were flying home before you got that welcome? And I know those sailors, especially as a Navy nurse, to see those sailors in uniform saluting you when you landed was big, and the big crowd and all the cheers. But did you open some interesting mail on the way home?
Oh, I got so much mail that it was absolutely wonderful. She called all the bridge club and everybody.
So all your relatives, all your friends, they all must have thought you were something special.
And the bridge club.
You must not be winning enough. Because if you're winning all the time, they wouldn't like you that much. What did that mean to you?
Oh, those letters meant everything. They were wonderful. I highly recommend it.
Well, you know, you're not going to get an argument from me, and not from EECU either. Peggy, like every veteran on Hometown Heroes, will receive CD copies of the program thanks to the sponsorship of Educational Employees Credit Union. And EECU has also been a founding and sustaining sponsor of Central Valley Honor Flight, the one that took Peggy to Washington, D.C. So thanks, EECU. Thanks, Peggy Bergthold. And thank you for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.